This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Sherm Radio. My name is Rakesh Sharma. Usually I talk about a certain management concept and find out from leaders, thought leaders from within the HR world, how those ideas actually pan out in real life. Today is going to be slightly different. We are going straight to the main source. Here, we're going to be talking about the Bhagavad Gita and what lessons there may be for all of us in the Bhagavad Gita. Welcome to Sherm Radio, and this episode is dedicated to lessons learned from the Bhagavad Gita.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
The Bhagavad Gita contains timeless management lessons for contemporary organizations and people. It is a non-sectarian spiritual text with a universal message. It is a text that contains topics that are relevant to modern leadership and management, even today. Topics like vision, motivation and empowerment, self-awareness, self-knowledge, self-mastery, emotional maturity, anger management and stress management, meditation and psychological well-being, excelling at work, workplace spirituality, importance of ethical means in achieving righteous ends. Some of the greatest minds in the history of the world have been influenced by the Bhagavad Gita, be it Gandhiji, who referred to the Gita as his spiritual dictionary, or Albert Einstein, who once said, "When I read the Bhagavad Gita and reflect about how God created this universe, everything else seems so superfluous." It is not just limited to Indian people. People from around the world, including such extraordinary names as Einstein, Emerson, Thoreau, Aldous Huxley, Robert Oppenheimer, some of the greatest minds the world has seen, have all been influenced by the teachings embedded in the Bhagavad Gita. Consensus varies, of course, but scholars believe that the Bhagavad Gita, and indeed the Mahabharata, may be about 5,000 years old. But the lessons embedded in the Bhagavad Gita are timeless. The Gita has implications from the battlefield where it was narrated to the boardroom today. The Gita was, of course, told by Lord Krishna to Arjuna on the eve of the great war of Mahabharata in Kurukshetra. But what it ultimately deals with is this simple question: what is the right thing to do? A question we all ask ourselves, not just leading our own lives, but also as leaders and managers. What is the right thing to do? There was once a famous saying which went, "Leaders are those who do the right thing, while managers are those people who want to do things right." But both those assessments presuppose on the knowledge of what the right thing is in the first place. And that right thing is described in detail by the Gita. And that is where the Bhagavad Gita begins and continues to be relevant to not just organizations, but also people. The Gita, even though presented to Arjuna to urge him to go to war, is ultimately a text full of compassion. Its ideal is not one of indifference, but of a deep love of the world. It of course begins with the words, "Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre." Kurukshetra is of course the name of the place where the battle is being fought, but its literal translation is also the place of actions. Kurukshetra. And how our actions are to be guided by dharma, or the right thing, is the very basis of the Gita. The Gita believes that leaders and managers have to act for these four reasons. Number one, as described in chapter 3, to set an example to others, which is primarily what Mahatma Gandhi learned as the lesson from the Gita. That is number one, to set an example to others. Number two, for unification of the world, as described in verses 20 and 25 in chapter 3, that is, Loka Sangraham, for unification of the world. Number three, for welfare of all beings, that is, Sarva Bhuta Hite, as described in chapter 5. And number four, and ultimately, the purification of one's own self, Atma Shuddhi. Leaders and managers act for these reasons: to set an example to others, for unification of the world, for welfare of all beings, and for purification of self. In a contemporary classic, that is Good to Great by Jim Collins, he talks about the two classic qualities of level 5 leaders. One of them is fierce professional will and the other is compelling modesty. This modesty is also one of the qualities that the Gita talks about. Great leaders also see themselves as a work in progress. As Nelson Mandela wrote in a letter from jail to his wife, where he said, "Never forget that a saint is a sinner who keeps trying." And that is what the Gita focuses on, to develop qualities of the head and the heart, entirely focusing on self-mastery.
You are listening to Sham Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
One of the major themes, and indeed one of the most important lessons the Bhagavad Gita talks about, is that of Kartavya. Kartavya is what one ought to do, what one has to do. The closest word that we have in English for Kartavya, I suppose, is duty. It includes executing our responsibilities and doing what we are expected to do. Kartavya is doing our duty in all our roles, in all situations we face, and under all conditions surrounding them. Kartavya has a special significance for all humans, including managers in organizations. Managers should be guided by their duty in the execution of any of their functions that draw from their roles in the organization. Whenever feeling confused or facing a dilemma, like Arjuna did before the war, a manager should search for the answer by knowing what is his or her duty in that regard. The character of managers should be judged not by the outcome of their performance, but whether or not they performed their duty to their best ability. Which also speaks to perhaps one of the most famous shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita, which is, of course, Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Ma karma phalahetur bhurma te sangostva karmani. Which talks about how our only duty is to do our job right. The expectation of our action is not in our hands and must not dictate the work we do. In work situations, by accepting to do a certain job, we choose to play several roles that become our duty. And that includes playing the role of a supervisor or a subordinate to our bosses or a colleague of equals. It extends to the work-related relationships beyond the workplace, even if it includes buyers or sellers. No role, whether it's conceived or unconceived, known or unknown, that we perform is left out when it comes to talking about our duty. Kartavya extends to work-life balance by including the roles that we play towards our family members, be it as parents or siblings or neighbors, or the duties, the kartavya that we have towards our fellow citizens, including those who are suffering or injured or dying or old. The Gita goes on to say that every time a manager is making a decision, choice, or selecting out of several options, one should always ask if the outcome of the action would pass the duty test. In other words, the manager should ask, would his or her action be the source of a sense that one did what one should have done, that one was expected to have done? And if this test approves the act, then the manager did one's duty. This duty test, this Kartavya test, is an important message from the Bhagavad Gita.
You are listening to Sham Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
The next lesson from the Bhagavad Gita that we will talk about today is about leadership. The Gita talks about how a leader's behavior becomes an effective model of social behavior. It was a similar tactic that Mahatma Gandhi employed. His own life was a lesson for the rest of us to learn from. It is as simple as this. People copy behaviors of leaders, and therefore, the responsibility of providing a motivating behavior rests on the leaders. As the saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. The behavior of the leader then becomes the standard that the other people around the leader follow. And that is why leaders have to always be aware of this responsibility. As the 21st shloka of the third chapter goes on to say, Yadyadacharati Shreshthastatta Devetarojanaha Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokas Tadanuvartate. Whatever actions great people perform, common people follow. The understanding is that as the leaders show, so the people will follow. Whatever standards they set, all the world pursues. It is important, therefore, for leaders to understand this responsibility and act accordingly, because their behaviors will be emulated by others.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
The next lesson that the Gita talks about is the emphasis it places on accumulating knowledge. As the 12th shloka of the 12th chapter, that is Bhakti Yoga, goes on to say, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasaj jnanad dhyanam vishishyate. Dhyanat karma phalat tyagas tyaga chantir anantaram. Which means, better than mechanical practice is knowledge. On the first level, it goes on to say that accumulating knowledge is an extremely important thing to do. Which also tells you about the focus that we these days place on upskilling. In essence, that shloka that I told you means that having the knowledge of how something happens, works, or is done is better than being able to just do it. So when you're not only doing something, pay attention to also why you're doing it and what are the steps involved in it and what is the basis for what you're doing. Thinking and researching on how something happens or works is better than just being able to produce it. It also extends to students who sometimes just mug up the things they're required to mug up for an exam and don't necessarily understand it. And the Gita says that should not be done. The Gita, of course, places extraordinary emphasis on knowledge and the accumulation of knowledge. And this should be certainly true of people who are working as well. To believe that the skills that we had when we joined our organization is going to be enough and we can just coast on it for the rest of our career is clearly not the way the world is working right now. We must be up to date with what is happening in the world. To do well at one's job, we must constantly be seeking the knowledge around it. And the Gita, of course, has always emphasized this. As we see in chapter 4, there is a shloka that says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate tat svayam yoga samsiddhah kalenatmani vindati. In this world, there is nothing as purifying as knowledge. So the third lesson we are learning from the Bhagavad Gita today is to never stop learning at our jobs or as students.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
So on this first episode of what I hope will be a series, we learned a few lessons from the Bhagavad Gita. And here I have to issue a disclaimer. It's got nothing to do with religious affiliations. Seen on its own merit and read as a secular text, the Bhagavad Gita has messages for people of all denominations. So this is in no way an endorsement of one practice over another. We've tried to keep it as basic as possible. And it is in this vein that I also hope to introduce more classic texts and some management lessons that are still contemporary over the course of some more episodes on Sherm Radio. Hope you enjoyed listening to this. Until the next time, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, saying thank you for joining us and stay with us on Sherm Radio, because there's so much more to listen.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.